If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Blog Talk Radio.
About the time my daddy left to fight the big war, I saw my first pistol in the general store, in the general store. Well, I was 13, I thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen. So I asked if I could have one someday when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen eggs, she really blew up, yes, she really blew up.
Welcome to ConservativeNationMedia.com, and you're on the Second Amendment Forum, and here is Maxwell Winchester Roberts, here to talk to you today about the latest goings-on in guns and in ammunition and in what is going on in the Second Amendment world today. We are in a very interesting time today. We are seeing a lot of different things happening going on in our world today, and we're going to start talking, we're going to delve right in to the political arena. A lot of things have happened over the last couple of weeks that are highly Second Amendment related. And one of the big signature issues is the signing of the UN Arms Treaty. This United Nations Arms Treaty has been bandied about for a while, and this is a severe threat to your Second Amendment rights. The government is trying to basically sign a treaty which is going to supposedly restrict arms imports, but in reality, it can come about and create problems for ownership of firearms here within this country. A good story came out on Fox News on September 25th, the date it was signed. Secretary of State John Kerry on Wednesday signed a controversial UN treaty on arms regulation, riling U.S. lawmakers who vow the Senate will not ratify the agreement. As he signed the document, Kerry called the treaty a significant step in addressing illegal gun sales while claiming it would also protect gun rights. This is about keeping weapons out of the hands of terrorists and rogue actors. This is about reducing the risk of international transfers of conventional firearms that will be used to carry out the world's worst crimes. This is about keeping Americans safe and keeping America strong, he said. This treaty will not diminish anyone's freedom. In fact, the treaty recognizes the freedom of both individuals and states to obtain, possess, and use arms for legitimate purposes. U.S. lawmakers, though, have long claimed the treaty could lead to new gun control measures. They note that the U.S. Senate has final say on whether to approve the agreement. Senator Bob Corker, Republican from Tennessee, in a letter to President Obama, urged his administration not to take any action to implement the treaty without the consent of the Senate. He claimed the treaty raises fundamental issues concerning individual rights protected by the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. The National Rifle Association blasted the plan, claiming it would impose an invasive registration scheme by requiring importing countries to give exporting countries information on end users. The Obama administration is once again demonstrating its contempt for our fundamental individual right to keep and bear arms, Chris Cox, executive director of the NRA's Institute for Legislative Action, said in a statement. These are blatant attacks on the constitutional rights and liberties of every law-abiding American. The NRA will continue to fight this assault on our fundamental freedom. Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican Oklahoma, one of the most vocal opponents of the treaty, also sent a letter to Kerry declaring the treaty dead in the water since a majority of senators has gone on record against the agreement. The administration is wasting precious time trying to sign away our laws to the global community and unelected UN bureaucrats, he wrote. Kerry, who is in New York attending the UN General Assembly session, announced earlier this year that the administration planned to sign the treaty. The treaty would require countries that ratify it to establish national regulations to control the transfer of conventional arms and components and to regulate arms brokers, but it will not explicitly control the domestic use of weapons in any country. Still, gun rights supporters on Capitol Hill warned the treaty could be used as the basis for additional gun regulations inside the U.S. and have threatened not to ratify. Over the summer, 130 members of Congress signed a letter to President Obama and Kerry urging them to reject the measure for this and other reasons. The chance of adoption by the U.S. is slim. A two-thirds majority would be needed in the Senate to ratify. What impact the treaty will have in curbing the estimated $60 billion global arms trade remains to be seen. The U.N. treaty will take effect after 50 countries ratify it, and a lot will depend on which ones ratify and which ones don't, and how stringently it is implemented. The Control Arms Coalition, which includes hundreds of non-governmental organizations in more than 100 countries that promoted an arms trade treaty, has said it expects many of the world's top arms exporters, including Britain, Germany, and France, to sign alongside emerging exporters such as Brazil and Mexico. It said the United States is expected to sign later this year. The coalition notes that more than 500,000 people are killed by armed violence every year, and predicted that history would be made when many UN members signed the treaty, which it says is designed to protect millions living in daily fear of armed violence and at risk of rape, assault, displacement, and death. Many violence-racked countries, including Congo and South Sudan, are also expected to sign. The coalition said their signature and ratification will make it more difficult for illicit arms to cross the borders. The treaty covers battle tanks, armored combat vehicles, large caliber artillery systems, combat aircraft, attack helicopters, warships, missiles, and missile launchers, and small arms and light weapons. It prohibits states that ratify it from transferring conventional weapons if they violate arms embargoes or if they promote acts of genocide, crimes against humanity, or war crimes. The treaty also prohibits the export of conventional arms if they could be used in attacks on civilians or civilian buildings such as schools and hospitals. In addition, the treaty requires countries to take measures to prevent the diversion of conventional weapons to the illicit market. This is among the provisions that gun rights supporters in Congress are concerned about. And also, it's rather hypocritical. When you take a look at the actions of this government with Syria, how we are sending weapons to Syria, these Syrian rebels are taking weapons and they're shooting children, they're attacking schools, and they're attacking churches. This is just nonsense. It's absolutely stupid. I mean, if you're going to sit there and defend your rights, those fears are right. And then seeing that this government's propensity for abusing power with, like, the NSA scandal and the IRS, I do not see anything good coming from anything that this government wants to do. And I'm glad that there are several members in our Senate and in our Congress that are standing up against it. And you, as an American, a gun owner, and even if you don't own a gun, but respect the Constitution, you should call up your senator and tell them not to support this. It is an absolute travesty what is going on here. Here's another interesting article right here from the Canadian Free Press. And this is outside the United States opinion, but done by the Canadian Free Press on September 27th. Senate must not ratify the UN Small Arms Treaty. There can be no question the Obamatons have little regard for the U.S. Constitution. It is but a speed bump in their drive towards the establishment of a socialist Marxist America, and they will use whatever method or means necessary to accomplish their goal. After their withering pressure on the Supreme Court produced a ruling in their favor on Obamacare, they are convinced they now have the highest court in the land in their pocket. And therefore, only one thing stands in the way of their goal of a socialist Marxist America: millions of guns in the hands of some pretty PO'd Americans. But wait, as they say on TV commercials, Obama has help coming from where else? The UN. Remember, the UN Small Arms Treaty we have warned about for at least 4 years now, well, it's here. John Kerry, the current U.S. Secretary of State, just signed the accursed thing. The Washington Times said the language of the draft agreement is so expansive it wouldn't take an Obama-appointed judge very long to extend the treaty to cover the domestic firearms market as well. If American jurists continue to be enamored by the popular trend to consider international precedents when making U.S. rulings, you can kiss the Second Amendment goodbye. Back in October of 2009, the then U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton publicly announced the U.S. would support U.N. negotiations of an arms trade treaty to regulate international gun trafficking. The Bush administration, you may remember, and notably former permanent U.S. representative to the U.S. United Nations, John Bolton, opposed negotiations on this treaty for years. Tech Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has said, Conventional arms transfers are a crucial national security concern for the United States, and we have always supported effective action to control the international transfer of arms. The United States is prepared to work hard for strong international standards in this area. Yeah, Hillary, and then you got your hands in Benghazi, sending missiles to the Muslim Brotherhood in Libya. Yeah. Here we go. This is what we see all the time from these people. Then the U.S. joined a vote, which was almost unanimous, to adopt a resolution which would set a schedule, a timetable on a proposed trade treaty. Within that resolution was a proposal to finalize the accord in the year 2012. It is now 2013, and the process has officially begun, and our president supports it. Do you begin to understand just a bit maybe why those little militia units continue to pop up in the woods across America? Still think they are all completely crazy, huh? Look, there are times when paranoia can be your friend, especially when someone is out to get you. It would be a mistake to think we have a delusional commander-in-chief. You may think he seems to believe he has dictatorial powers already. Take a deep breath. You might want to sit down for this. The plain truth is he does have such power, and he is giving himself even more by issuing executive orders. The American public knows nothing about, but when enacted, will have the force of law and place every single American under the direct command of the President of the United States. Congress, forget Congress. They will have zero power. The only person with the power will be the president, and he will be, in fact, the dictator of America. I have been taken to task a few times for my defense of honor. Maybe some of the critics will begin to see why I feel honor is so extremely important in our national leaders. I believe the founders of this country, when they wrote the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, just assumed that the generations of Americans to come would instinctively elect the men of honor to fulfill the important post of president, and now we know they were mistaken. And of course, I have no way of knowing for certain what is in the minds of people who would take America's freedom and make Americans slaves. But I must tell you, I took an oath way back in the 1950s as a soldier and again in the 1960s as a law enforcement officer. And for the life of me, I do not recall an expiration date on an oath. All of us who raised our hands swore to uphold the Constitution and to protect it. We swore to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. I am not unique. Millions of Americans have taken the same oath. It seems to me that I am bound by that oath to alert my fellow Americans to a threat I perceive aimed at this country and its citizens. America has reached a tipping point. Events over the next few weeks and months will determine if America holds on to her remaining freedom and liberty or slides into the septic tank of socialism and enslavement to the state. We are already a far distance down that slippery slope. I suggest we all contact our senators while we still have that freedom and insist that they resist ratification of the UN Small Arms Treaty when it comes before them. And finally, the powers of the president I mentioned above can only be brought under control by amending the Constitution since honor can no longer be assumed in our presidents or presidential candidates. Then I suggest that we need to amend the Constitution in order to protect the Constitution itself and the freedom of the American people from a rogue president. We have to go to a quick spot here. We got a little bit of commercial time. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guest to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee. Mondays at 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Well, that argument was very, very sobering. It was very, very enlightening. And it's gross to see that, you know, America has been asleep at the wheel. A lot of people have been asleep at the wheel. We are too busy looking at our cell phones, looking at our iPads, and we are watching our freedoms go away. Because we have become intellectually lazy as a people, and this is why we are in the situation that we're in. And we as a nation are going to have to sit there and going to have to wake up and start to do something soon. Or like J.D. Longstreet said, it is all going to be gone. We will lose things. It'll slip away before you even know it, and you won't even know it happened until it happened. Now, this treaty is an extreme threat to our freedom. And Americans must be aware and do something about it. You've got to call your congressmen. You've got to call your senators and stay on them. And do not let them know in the strongest possible terms that they are going to pay the price at the polls for not fulfilling their oaths. Stay on them. Don't let off. We have a little commercial break here, and then we'll be back in a little bit.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift. But maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Conservative Nation Media into the Second Amendment Forum. You are here with Maxwell Winchester Roberts talking about Second Amendment issues, gun issues, and all things gun-related here on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Phone number is 646-200-3980 if you want to call in and ask questions and talk about any of these issues. The next thing we got to talk about here was another big issue that happened. Back a couple weeks ago, mid-September, we had a little problem here happen in Washington, D.C. We had a major shooting take place at the Washington Navy Yard. There was a man, a United States Navy veteran by the name of Aaron Alexis, who was apparently disgruntled and also had some serious mental problems. Who bought a shotgun, went into work, and shot two police officers and wound up killing almost a dozen people, including himself. Now, what happened here, the real outrage is, as details have come out about Mr. Alexis, a lot of things were, first of all, Mr. Alexis went and bought a shotgun here in Virginia, and what happened was, he definitely had to fill out forms, was going to prevent him from buying these weapons. But what happened? His HIPAA. I think the fact that the HIPAA laws that we have prevented, even if he answered that question wrong, his information was protected, and therefore those people that got shot here could have been averted, and it's terrible. Wayne LaPierre wrote an article talking about what happened, about the situation what this man was suffering from, talking about his mental condition. Listen to this. Very interesting from USA Today. He said, NRA, Navy Yard shooter should have been committed. Instead, he passed a government security background check and the government firearms check, just like the monsters of Aurora and Tucson. 4 miles from the White House, the Washington Navy Yard. Tragedy that didn't have to happen. Victims that didn't have to be victims. He never should have been at that Navy Yard. Discharged from the military, he had several run-ins with law enforcement, including firearms offenses, and told authorities he was under microwave attack and hearing voices. At that point, he should have been committed. He was having paranoid schizophrenic delusions. A psychiatrist came on some local talk radio and even said that he should have been removed from that situation immediately. He should have been taken into custody. Instead, he passed the government security background check and the government firearms check, just like the monsters of Aurora and Tucson. They all passed the same system the political elites want expanded. The same check that will never include violent criminals, the mentally ill, and the deranged bent on mayhem. The Navy Yard was largely unprotected. Radios of first responders didn't work. Police cars were unavailable on base. According to later reports, a SWAT team immediately responded and was ordered to stand down, giving a madman 30 minutes to stalk 12 innocent souls. Only when the law enforcement finally engaged the shooter did the massacre end, thanks to the good guys who came running in with guns. There's no counting how many at the Navy Yard wish they were armed. But there's no doubt that it's the time to take a look at allowing our men and women in the military who are trained in the use of firearms to do what they do best, protect and survive. Sounds like good common sense, hey, doesn't it? But the same politicians clamor for the same decades-old agenda. The same old heads ignore facts and declare the AR-15 evil and launch a campaign to demonize that rifle and millions of law-abiding people who own it. Americans now know the difference between sensationalism and truth. They know government fails to protect us. Take Chicago, the president's hometown. It's the deadliest city in America. Despite having some of the most restrictive firearms laws, a shooting occurs there every 6 hours, but out of 90 federal jurisdictions, Chicago ranks dead last in federal firearms prosecutions. The Second Amendment has never been more relevant for more Americans. Firearms in the hands of good law-abiding people are increasingly essential to the safety of our families and nation. For most Americans, there is no debate. They want violent criminals and the evil-minded taken off the street, and they want their Second Amendment freedom preserved. And Wayne LaPierre is right. It is the way a lot of people feel. What we have here is a governmental governance system that is out of control, trying to pass an agenda that is really worried about the welfare and health and safety of its civilians. It is really, really wrong here. But, you know, Wayne had it right. He had it right. Here's another article right here that backs up something, backs some of the contentions that were made. Listen to this one here. Marines at the Naval Yard had weapons but no ammunition. Listen to this. A man interviewed in Washington, D.C. yesterday, whose son works as a Marine at the Naval Yard, said that his son might have stopped the killer, but the troops on base couldn't access their ammunition. The Media Research Center got the interview. USA Today is reporting that the gunman cleared a security checkpoint with his contractor ID and was carrying his shotgun unassembled. The killer was a naval reservist who sought treatment from the Department of Veteran Affairs for a mental illness a month ago, and it was reportedly a liberal Democrat. Well, how about that? How about that? And there was also reports that what was called a CERT team from Capitol Hill. Now, a CERT team is a special forces unit which has been designed to deal with shooting, mass shootings, and terrorism that could occur over on Capitol Hill. It was comprised of four, what I believe were Navy SEALs. They were equipped with Heckler Koch 416 fully automatic weapons. They arrived. They heard the radio reports about what was going on at the Navy Yard, and they reported there early, at least when three people were shot, and they were told to stand down. Now, how about that? Think about that, people. Told to stand down. Well, they could have gone in there with those weapons. They could have stopped it. Does it look a little suspicious, people? Think about it. Just research it, people. Just go take a look at it. That's all we need to do. And another article wants to talk about what we found on Debka here. Said something here about this shooter here. The Navy Yard gunman, self-styled Mohammed Salem. NBC News, quoting law enforcement officials, revealed Thursday that Aaron Alexis, who murdered 12 people in the Washington Navy Yard this week, created a web page in the name of Mohammed Salem. The officials said he never did anything with it, and they found nothing else that might indicate entry justice in violent jihad or even Islam. So how would they describe the deadly attack on that Navy facility, if not violent jihad? See, people, see what's happening here. We have all these incidents going on. They try to pass this UN treaty. Your Second Amendment rights are under assault, America. They are under assault, and you're going to have to stand up and do something about it. You can no longer sit back passively and wait for your congressman to do it. You're going to have to talk to people. You're going to have to go visit your congressman. Go visit your legislatures. It is time for involvement. We can no longer sit around and just sit back. There are too many issues going on, and the more of you that speak up, the more of you that get out, it will make a difference. It will. Because right now, what I find when the Congress is getting bombarded right now on the Hill over this budget deal, and they are just getting crushed over it. They're getting millions of phone calls. Keep it up. Keep it up, because the only one that's going to stand up for your rights is you. You know, citizenship, responsible citizenship, takes participation. People throughout history that have lost their rights have always done so because they have always wanted somebody else to do it. Laziness. Laziness is one of the biggest things. Being apathetic. You know, Thomas Jefferson once said there was nothing more hideous than seeing a person whose patriotism had slid into apathy. And it's true. It has caused lots of problems. Think about all the nations where this has happened throughout history. What happens is people lose their sense of freedom, and then what happens is they start to fall apart. The society slips into totalitarianism, and it is usually at a horrible price that it has to be fixed. It has to be stopped. But here in America, you have a unique advantage. You have a Second Amendment, and Americans have some guns around here. Not just millions of guns, but hundreds of millions of guns. Our gun industry is at a point right now where we are seeing record numbers of gun sales, record ammunition sales. As we talked on one of our earlier show, we talked about how the market is just stressed out right now. I mean, 22 ammunition is getting more difficult to get. I mean, it's costing almost $100 to buy 100 rounds. I mean, in certain cases, it's amazing. You go to a gun show, and you'll see very few people have just 22, but I think the reason is because they're building larger calibers like 9mm, 40 Smith, and all the other cartridges, which are better defense rounds. You know, needless to say, as we start talking more about concealed carry weapons, you know, we will do a series on the 22, and we will talk about how effective a 22 can be in a defense situation. Let's go more here and see what we have. We have a lot of things going on now, too. A lot from these shootings has been putting some crazy behavior. Down in Virginia Beach, there was a student that could be expelled for playing with a toy gun in his own yard. This happened in late September. And listen to this. You want to get outraged here. A suspended 7th grade student in Virginia Beach, Virginia, could be expelled for the rest of the school year for shooting an airsoft gun, which is like a BB gun that shoots plastic BBs, in his yard as they waited for the bus to come. Khalid Taraballo, 12 years old, and his friend Aiden were suspended for possession, handling, and use of a firearm because they shot two other friends who were with them while playing with the airsoft guns. Taraballo answered, "No, sir," when asked when he took the gun to the bus stop or school. "We were in our yard and that had nothing to do with it," the student said. Carabella's mother, Angel, said being punished for possession and handling of use of firearm was pretty harsh for a toy that she bought for $20 to $25. And his father even said to the news station that the school neglected to use common sense. I fully agree. And we also had another fellow here, a journalism professor from the University of Kansas named David Guth, who after the naval shooting suggested that NRA members, blood should be on, the blood of people should be on their hands, and that he hoped that their children would be get shot as victims. Really class act, hey, Mr. Guth? Well, Mr. Guth has been suspended, but he should be more than suspended. All you gun owners should call up the University of Kansas and let them have it and tell them to get rid of him. He's on leave of that. He's on paid administrative leave. No, such stuff like that does not need to be rewarded. He needs to be removed. And in Connecticut, here's another little tidbit I think you should find interesting. Connecticut judge declares no one should have guns, but we will get to that right after our break here, which we'll get right back to.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Every day I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m. I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Well, I'm sad. Ideals, I think, are right. And I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe that's a dream for everyone.
Maxwell W. Roberts here on the Second Amendment Forum of a Conservative Nation of Media, where America always wins. And now another word from one of our sponsors, LifeLock. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their greatest service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did. Well, getting back to what we were just talking about, we need to go take a look here at this. We're just about to talk about another incident that was going on. Let me go back here. Yes, this Connecticut judge declares no one should have guns. Listen to this stupidity here. A superior judge in Bristol expressed, this is all around the time of this shooting, a superior judge in Bristol expressed his contempt for the right to keep and bear arms in a closed-door meeting in his chambers. The state gun rights group, Connecticut Carry, reported last Thursday in a media advisory, Judge Robert C. Brunetti exposed his bigotry for fundamental civil rights in front of at least three defense attorneys, the group explained. No one in this country should have guns, the judge reportedly stated, adding, I never return guns. A judge's role is to be impartial and to render verdicts, rulings, and judgments based upon law and case law. Certainly not personal opinion, the press release continued. Judge Brunetti has clearly decided to lead an anti-rights crusade under color of his judicial position, and it must end. Media outlets claim lack of personnel to provide coverage in the case of Connecticut versus Bruce Worley. The press statement advised, advocating the citizens of Connecticut have a right to know about Judge Brunetti. He, in fact, is the second judge to come out recently with blatantly anti-gun statements. The group reported on Judge Edward Malarkey, who proclaimed from the bench that those who support the Second Amendment should be ashamed. How about that? How many more judges in Connecticut are abusing their authority like this when these judges are so willingly to open flaunt their bigotry, the release asks. There is no place in Connecticut or America, forever, for a judge who would so willingly contradict the Supreme Court's ruling on such important civil rights. When the Obama administration can't get through legislation, they're determined to get just by issuing orders. The latest Guns magazine writes which column online, and you can read it before the magazine hits the stands. If you're a regular gun rights examiner, reader, and believe it provides news and perspectives, you won't find it in the mainstream media. Please don't. Ella, this right here, when you look at what this judge has done, it's just off the planet. It's wrong. And this has to be stopped right here, right now at its source, because something like this becomes precedent. When somebody starts getting away with something like this, it becomes precedent, and people start doing this stuff automatically. This is not good. This is bad. I mean, you look at the absolute appalling disregard certain people have for the Constitution of the United States. A person like that, anyone like that, has no business being a judge. He has no business being a judge. We can go back to look at some of these hearings and take a look at some of our congressmen. They were having gun hearings during the when they were trying to pass the gun legislation earlier. Diana DeJet, a congressman from Colorado, I believe, went out, and there was an old man talking in front of her, you know, who was somewhat had health problems. And he talked about his need to have a magazine because of his fear of home invasion and how he would not be able to handle many of them. And she sat there and told him to call the police. What a let-them-eat-cake attitude that is. What is this, America? What is this? Are you going to sit there and just sit, be passive and not say anything about this? Are you going to not do anything about it? Are you going to let your rights get trampled on by these people? Or are you going to sit there and get in their face and say no? Say no, America. You need to say no and say no repeatedly, because they are going to keep assaulting it and assaulting it and assaulting it. They will not give up. You have to look at all the things that I have talked about since this show began. It is a relentless attack on your rights as an American. Your Second Amendment guarantees your freedom. We are going to talk also about the Federalist Paper. We are going to start having a little bit of talk about the Federalist Papers. We're going to start talking about the basis in the Constitution. We're going to go on a little bit of an exploration on it. And one of the ones we are going to start to look at is the 46th Federalist Paper that was written by President James Madison, which he was a great patriot and a firm understander of what the Second Amendment was about and what it was for. And it was not just about an establishment of a militia. It was also about, you know, the right of the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms to ensure the security of a free state. That is also to keep the government in its place, too. And when you start reading we're going to read a few paragraphs here, and then we'll move on to the next show because we got other material. But we're going to give you some food to think about. you know, before the next show. Here's the original Federalist Paper, which was written by President James Madison back on January 29, 1788, to the people of the state of New York. Resuming the subject of the last paper, I proceed to inquire whether the federal government or state governments will have the advantage with regard to the predilection and support of the people. Notwithstanding different modes in which they are appointed, we must consider both of them and are as substantially dependent on the great body of the citizens of the United States. I assume this position here as it respects the first, reserving the proofs for another place. The federal and state governments are in fact but different agents and trustees of the people, constituted with different powers and designed for different purposes. The adversaries of the Constitution seem to have lost sight of the people altogether and their reasonings on this subject, and have viewed these different establishments not only as mutual rivals and enemies, but as uncontrolled by any common superior in their efforts to usurp the authorities of each other. These gentlemen must be reminded of their error. They must be told that the ultimate authority, wherever the derivative may be found, resides in the people alone, and it will not depend merely on the comparative ambition or address of the different governments, whether either or which of them will be able to enlarge its sphere of jurisdiction at the expense of the other. Truth, no less than decency, requires that the event in every case should be supposed to depend on the sentiments and sanction of their common constituents. Many considerations beside those suggested on former occasion seem to place it beyond doubt the first and most natural attachment of the people will be the governments of their respective states. Well, how about that? James Madison, more than, you know, a couple hundred years ago, comes out and look what he's talking about. The same sentiment today is amongst a lot of freedom-abiding Americans. The principles of this country that were put in the Constitution are transcendent. That means they are transcendent ideas that are designed to preserve the liberty of men. And technology, times, has nothing to do with it. There's a common argument that a lot of people try to make about gun control. Oh, they only had muskets back then. But if you look at the thought of the process, this is about human nature, what James Madison is talking about. And the part that is so much right here, if this does not jump out at you and doesn't really, look at this. The adversaries of the Constitution seem to have lost sight of the people altogether in their reasonings on this subject and to have viewed these different establishments, not only as mutual rivals and enemies, but as uncontrolled by any common superior in their efforts, right? To usurp the authorities of each other. These gentlemen must be reminded of their error. They must be told that the ultimate authority, wherever the derivative may be found, resides in the people alone. It is with you, America. It is with you. The ultimate authority of freedom lies with you. Let me take a little break here. We got to have a little spot here, and then we'll get right back to this subject. There can be nothing more outrageous to an American than the idea of innocent person being wrongfully convicted of a crime they didn't commit. But just as I say, the sunshine is the best disinfectant. We're proud to welcome A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart to Tuesday nights on conservativenationmedia.com. Sam and Cliff took a hard look at what happens when the wheels of justice trample the rights of American citizens. These are real causes of real people who are actually innocent, but who were wrongfully convicted. Join us for A Just Cause, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Well, getting back to this, the more you read this paper, the more you're going to see how right it is. That's why you have groups like the NRA. They study these things. The law professors know what goes on here. And you can see... that the very forces that we have that are trying to usurp the people have been in this country since its inception. And we cannot let them win. We cannot let them win. It is the forces of freedom that have kept America great. It is the forces of the be able for the free exchange of ideas that have given. And the Second Amendment, as we go further in our study of this, is we are going to find that the Second Amendment is the guarantor of all the other rights that you have. It is. We have to go on another break here, and then we're going to start getting into some other segments. We're going to talk about some of our guns of the week and some of our technical things. But we've had enough on politics here. But if you have any questions, please call conservative nation's radio at 646-200-3980.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. Where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Every day I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m. I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving, a public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Well, I can stand beside ideals I think are right. And I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country.
This is Maxwell Winchester Roberts on the Second Amendment Forum. And yes, it is our country, but it is our country. And we need to start telling these politicians who represent us, it's our country. It is not their special interest. It is like James Madison said, the power in this country resides with the people. And we need to remember that. Now we got to get to one of our Gun of the Week series, which we talk about. What is the gun? And since I figure this would be a good choice, our rifle of the week, we're going to talk about the AR-15, which has been the object of so much controversy. And which has been the cause with a lot of people. One of the big guns that they were talking about in the shootings was, they said, he had an AR. No, he did not have an AR-15. Ryan Lanza did not have an AR-15. These men used shotguns and they used semi-automatic pistols. This is the gun that the government is trying to demonize. And this is something, one of the purposes of the Second Amendment Forum is to inform. There's a lot of you that have guns and know what these things are, so you got to bear with us a little bit, because we're also here to educate the uninformed and people that do not know anything about guns too. So we're going to sit there and expand on these things and talk a little bit. Now, the Colt AR-15, which was first developed by the Colt Corporation, is a lightweight 5.56mm magazine fed or air cooled semi-automatic rifle with a rotating lock bolt actuated by direct impingement gas operations or long short stroke piston operation. It is manufactured with the extensive use of aluminum alloys and synthetic materials. Now, a lot of you have seen an AR-15, and it looks a lot like a small M16. It looks like what we most see is what's called a carbine or a short rifle. Most rifles that the a lot of you know what the M16 is, which is currently used by certain members of the U.S. Marine Corps, It is also used by, I'd say the AR-15 is used in a lot of areas. It's used by law enforcement. It's used by the military. And it's also used by the citizen. It is a common, common competition and recreational gun. It has excellent use in hunting. And it can also be used in home defense as well, too. Now, the difference is the AR-15, or the gun we're talking about, is a shorter version. It's called a carbine. That means it has a 16-inch barrel. The longer one normally is about 20. Now, it has a long history, and I mean, there are millions of these guns in circulation. Millions. I mean, it was based on, when it was first developed, the AR-15 is based on the 7.62mm AR-10, which was designed by Eugene Stoner, Robert Fremont, and L. James Sullivan of the Fairchild Armalite Corporation. It was developed as a lighter 5.56 version of the AR-10. The AR in the pattern rifles does not stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite rifle, which can be found on many of the company's firearms. So when you see AR, it means Armalite type, not assault rifle. The AR-5 is a 22 caliber rifle, and the AR-7 is another 22, and the AR-17 shotgun. So basically, what they have is this, usually you have either a fixed stock, or you will have a telescopic stock, and you will have a lower. These guns are usually gas operated. They have a rotating bolt. That means the bolt spins around and ejects the cartridge when it comes in. Magazines can range from 5 up to 30, or even you can get a 100-round drum on one. But, you know, when the more ammunition you put on a gun like that, the heavier it becomes and the more unwieldy. It is typical that you see most of these weapons have a 20 or 30-round magazine. And the reason they have that is so that people can shoot and do it freely. Rather than constantly reload, it is good for the recreational shooter to be able to shoot as much as he can. But you have to be careful with one thing. When you shoot a gun like this, you have to understand that that gun has to do, you know, it puts a lot of heat out. 223 cartridge, which is a NATO 5.56-45. You see, when you're going to hear, let me start talking about cartridges. Rifle cartridges are going to be on these ARs is usually going to come in one way. First of all, you're going to see what's called the caliber designation, and the common one is called 223 Remington. Now, the NATO designation for that is 5.56x45. Now, what that means is the first number, the 5.56, represents the caliber. That's 5.56mm, roughly 22 in size. And the 45 represents the cartridge length, which is 45mm. Another real common weapon, which we will talk about later one day, is called the 7.62-51 or 308 Winchester is another name for it. That means it's a 308 caliber. And the other one is a 7.62 or 308 inches, and it is 51mm long. Now, one of the nice pieces, let's go back a little more. The trademark AR-15 or AR-15 is registered to Colt Industries, which maintains that term should be used only to refer to their products. Other AR-15 manufacturers make AR-15 clones marketed under separate designations, although colloquially these are sometimes referred to by the term AR-15. Here's some of their notable features, and I think this is some good points to understand. Aircraft Forge 7075B aluminum receiver is a lightweight, highly corrosion-resistant, and machinable. Modular design allows for the use of numerous accessories such as aftermarket sights, vertical forward grips, lighting systems, night vision devices, laser targeting devices, muzzle brakes, flash hiders, sound suppressors, bipods, and makes repair easier. Straight line stock design eliminates the fulcrum created by traditional bent stocks, reducing muzzle climb. Small caliber, accurate, lightweight, high velocity round, the 223, 5.56 I just talked about. Easily adaptable for numerous other rounds. And that's true. You can take that, you can use that lower, which is what they call the lower piece, and you can put different upper pieces on it of different calibers. For instance, you can, if any of you have just a standard 5.56, you can put up to a 458 SOCOM, which is a large anti-materiel or hunting round that can be used, which is based on the 458 Winchester. Front sight adjustable for elevation, rear sight adjustable for windage, most models in elevation, some models. Wide array of optical aiming devices available in addition for his replacements of iron sights. It has a direct impingement gas system with shorter long stroke gas piston or direct blowback operating systems. Synthetic pistol grip and buttstock that do not swell or splinter in adverse conditions. Various magazine capacity raising from 10 to 30 or more. An ergonomic design that makes the charging handle selector switch, which also engages the safety mag release and bolt catch assembly, easy to access. It has a 4.44 MOA accuracy as the mil-spec standard, and we will talk more about that in a little bit. Semi-automatic AR-15s for surveillance for civilians are internally different from the fully automatic M16, although nearly identical in external appearance. The hammer and trigger mechanisms are of a different design. The bolt carrier and internal receiver of the semi-automatic versions are milled differently so that the firing mechanisms are not interchangeable. How about that, right? This was done to satisfy United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosive requirements that civilian weapons may not easily be convertible to full automatic. In the late 1970s and early 80s, items such as, items such as the drop, an auto sear, or lightning link conversion to full automatic was very straightforward, and sometimes requiring machining of the lower receiver and the use of a lathe and M16 bolt carrier group. Such modifications, and using resters and transferable parts made prior to May 19, 1986, are illegal. The Firearm Owners Protection Act of 1986 has redefined a machine gun to include individual components where a semi-automatic firearm can be converted to full automatic based on 1982 ruling on machine gun parts. Since 1983, the bolt carrier groups used in an AR-15 rifles for civilians have employed additional measures to prevent modification to full auto. Cold AR-15s use a metal alloy wall separating the fire control group from the sear, preventing the use of such items. Now, how about that? Everyone is in such a big stink, and yet we have engineered into our guns that make these weapons not be military capable. Now, these guns here are just, but they're, you know, they're effective law enforcement weapons, but they're not, they are not the same type of gun that police and military have. There's a big difference, and these weapons are not the culprit, and they have not been used in these kinds of shootings. It's rather been smaller guns that have been the big culprit in a lot of mass shootings. Funny, eh? Here's something now. Listen to this. Automatic variants have a three-position rotating selective fire switch, allowing the operator to select between three modes, safe, semi-automatic, and full automatic, or three-round burst, depending on the model. Civilian Colt AR-15 models do not have three-round burst or automatic settings. They can only be fired as a semi-automatic and therefore not selective fire weapons. In semi-automatic-only variants, the switch only functions to rotate between safe and fire. Some other manufacturers may mark their rifles with three positions for collectors and reenactors. Though the guns will not fire in those modes, however, weapons modified to full automatic using a lightning link are capable of full automatic fire only unless a specific full automatic fire select mechanism and modified selector switch is substituted. How about that? As we look around and you see all the disinformation that the government and the media is trying to put on you, but the way you need to deal with them is arm yourself. Arm yourself with the truth. Arm yourself with the facts. Do not let these lightweights sit there and tell you what you have to know and what you have to do. You know, remember something. What did James Madison say? The power lies with you. It lies with the people. Here's some interesting things about the AR-15, too, about the variants, like what you were talking about. It is available in a wide range of configurations from a large number, and it is. And here's some great stuff that you can get. Available calibers for the AR-15, you get the .223 Remington, you get the .45 ACP, which is used in the .45 pistol. You can get the .5728, the 6.5mm Grendel, the .338 Lapua, which is a fabulous round, the 6.8mm Remington SPC, the .50 caliber Beowulf, the .50 BMG, and the .458 SOCOM. It is not recommended to chamber the 5.56 rifle designated due to increased chamber pressure. The two calibers are similar but not identical. How about that? So it says, when you install a complete new upper receiver, one to design a different caliber, some modification to the contents of the lower receiver may be required, depending on the particular conversion. For example, a conversion in 9mm would typically involve the installation of a magazine well block to accommodate a 9mm magazine. Well, now we're coming up on another break time, and we will get right back to you in a second. I will get it moving, and we will get right back to our show here.
If you love America, you're among friends here. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Maxwell Winchester Roberts on the Conservative Nations Radio. And on the second hour, we are going to continue a little bit with our AR-15 talk, and then we are going to go start talking a little bit more about the Federalist Papers for a little bit. I want to go over a little bit more of that information, too. All right, let's talk about legal status of civilian ownership right here. Talk about the United States in particular. There are no federal restrictions on the ownerships of AR-15 rifles in the United States. During the period of 1994 to 2004, variants with certain features such as collapsible stocks, flash suppressors, and bayonet lugs were prohibited for sales to civilians by the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994, with the included assault weapons ban. Included in this was a restriction on the pistol grip that protrudes beneath the stock, which was considered an accessory feature under the ban and was subject to restrictions. Some rifles were manufactured with a grip not described under the ban installed in its place. Those AR-15s were manufactured with those features as well as the accompanying full-capacity magazines, were stamped restricted military, law enforcement, and export only. These restrictions applied only to guns manufactured after the ban took effect. It was legal to own, sell, or buy any gun built before 1994. Hundreds of thousands of pre-ban ARs were sold during the ban as well, but as new guns redesigned to be legal. Since the expiration of the federal assault weapons ban in September 2004, these features became legal in most states. Since the expiration of the ban, the manufacture and sale of then-restricted rifles has resumed completely. At least five states, New York, New Jersey, California, Maryland, Connecticut, regulate possession of AR-15 rifles either by the restriction of certain features or outright bans of certain manufacturers' models. For example, the A3 tactical carbine is a legal for sale and possession in the United States generally, but is illegal for sale in California, and the Colt AR-15 is banned in New Jersey. Under U.S. firearms laws, the lower receiver of the AR-15 is considered a firearm and subject to purchasing restrictions. This is not universally the case with rifles or some other rifles, such as the FNFAL, Heckler Koch 91, 93, MP5 or SP9. The upper receiver is the serial numbered part and thus the firearm. The AR-15 upper receiver assembly is considered a part and may be purchased and mail ordered in most locations. This is a desirable feature for enthusiasts who can purchase a number of upper receivers, often in different calibers and barrel lengths, and interchange them with the same lower receiver. Adding a shoulder stock to an AR-15 with a barrel shorter than 16 inches would constitute constructing a short-barreled rifle, which is SBR under NFA rules, which is subject to a $200 tax stamp. This receiver serial number part is still considered a firearm, but a receiver has unique status assigned by the Gun Control Act of 1968 as amended, and ATF regulations on rulings illustrates a receiver's unique legal status, even if a receiver can be made into a rifle. Under the United States versus Thompson Center Arms Company Supreme Court ruling, an individual can possess parts of both the rifle and the pistol so long as they are not assembled improperly. This ruling has been further clarified by the ATF director in ruling dated 25/2011, which restates most of the findings in the Thompson case. Following a 1992 ruling, the ATF claimed that finding United States versus Thompson Center Firearms Company only applies to products of the Thompson contender and to not any other company's products. This has changed under the ATF rule, which says, and here's what the ATF has to say about these guns. A firearm as defined by the National Firearms Act, 26 U.S. Code 5845, Section A, Subsection 3, is made when unassembled parts are placed in a close proximity in such a way that they are serve no useful purpose other than making a rifle having a barrel of or barrels of less than 16 inches in length, or B, convert a complete weapon info such as NFA firearm. A firearm is defined by the 26 U.S. Code 5845A3 and A3A4 is not made when parts are within a kit that were originally designed to be configured as both a pistol and a rifle or assembled or reassembled in a configuration not regulated. So basically you're saying that such a weapon would not be a pistol because the weapon was not originally designed, made, or intended to fire a projectile in one hand. So it says, adding a forward pistol grip that is designated as a pistol constitutes manufacture of any AOW. Both of these actions require an approved Form 1 and payment of $200 tax prior to actual construction. Current wait times for approval average 5 to 8 months where no modification or instruction shall be done. So it says that as of 2012, there's an estimated 2.5 to 3, almost 4 million rifles from the AR-15 family in civilian use in the United States. They are favored for target shooting, hunting, and personal protection, and are the most popular rifle in America. They are the most popular rifle in America, and hardly any shooting ever takes place with them. How about that? How about that? Yet the media is always making the AR-15 the culprit. That's the thing, people. Don't let them pull the wool over your eyes. You have to sit there and know your firearms in order not to be fooled by the media. They were running stories around rampant saying, oh, it was a fully automatic weapon. Well, let me tell you something. Getting a fully automatic weapon is not as easy. Just what I shared with you right here just goes to prove that getting a fully automatic weapon is not easy, and it's not easy to convert. People are pretty much, you know, they put a lot of thought into this. Our ATF works very hard with our gun industry to ensure that we have great firearms that Americans can have owned to uphold the Second Amendment, even on a defense standpoint. But they do regulate them at a point in a reasonable fashion for public safety. And for the amount of firearms that we have in this country, we still have an extremely low amount of violence with guns. We do. We have a very low amount of violence with guns. It's true. I mean, you just have to look at it for what it is. The statistics don't lie. In states where you have highly restricted gun laws, the murder rate's the highest. Chicago, Baltimore, I mean, look at it. Every day you're reading about multiple shootings taking place. Yet they have the most restrictive gun laws. Criminals will always have guns. I was just reading today about how a woman had twice in Toledo, Ohio, had to defend herself and her family with a pistol. I mean, it's being done out there. There's a lot of times people are using firearms today to defend their homes and defend themselves. And that's what the Second Amendment is about. But also, as we say, we're going to, like I said, go back to it. We have a little thing to talk about here, a little break we got to take. But we will get right back into the 46 Federalist paper, and we will talk more about what's going on with that. Because I think that's critical that most Americans understand what is going on, you know, where their rights are derived from and how they have got changed over the period of time. If you love conservative internet radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Gray Show. Jennifer Meadows and Josh Bernstein have been carrying the conservative message over the net for years, and now they're here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news and conservative analysis, with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And we do always win here because we are constantly pushing forward what it is to be an American. We need to do that. We as American citizens need to sit there, and just like it says there, we need to constantly push forward what it is to be an American. We need to sit there and stand up for our Constitution and do not let individuals who want to trash on it get away with it so easy. And that's what's happened today because you have a duplicitous media that is working with people in their government and their New World Order masters trying to keep you down and trying to keep you from being what your founding fathers secured for you. Remember something. Your freedoms in this country did not come through negotiation. They have come through people that have sacrificed their lives. They have suffered and still suffer today with awful maladies from serving in the military, going out to godforsaken hellholes in the world and fighting to keep this country free. And it is a shame to see how people in this country do not understand the sacrifice. I think it's a good trip for any American to have is to go to a war cemetery and appreciate to see the sacrifice that was done. And there are thousands of graves out there, but there's also thousands of unmarked graves. And many, many brave young men and women have sacrificed themselves for this nation and for your freedom. And you need to understand that's why the Second Amendment is so important, because they use it to protect you. And they die for that. They die, fight and die for your right for freedom of speech. They fight and die for your right to express yourself in this country. That and have the freedom to pursue your dreams. That's what it's all about. You know, who is it? Who are these people up in Washington to sit there and tell you what's right and what's wrong? You know, when they don't even know. Here they are trying to talk about trying to regulate guns, and they can't even sit there and pass a budget and run this country in a responsible manner. You as an American citizen have to really think what this is all about. It goes beyond the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, like I said, it is the guarantor of all the others. And now we have another little commercial break here, and we will get right back to this topic, and we will get a little bit more into the 46th Federalist Paper.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, or the time.
Yes, the times are a-changing, America. Yes, they are. And we are not going to sit there and sit idly back and let other people sit there and push us around. No, we're not. We know that we are going to talk a little bit more. I have some other great information we're going to talk about. Is we have another gun of the week, and then we'll get a little bit more back into our Federalist paper. We're going to have the pistol today, the venerable 357 Magnum. Now, first of all, to understand the 357 Magnum, we're going to have to talk about the cartridge, which is the 357 Smith & Wesson Magnum or Remington Magnum cartridge, which was created by Elmer Keith, Philip Sharp, and Colonel Doug B. Wesson of the firearms manufacturer Smith & Wesson in Winchester. It is based on Smith & Wesson's earlier 38 special cartridge. The 357 Magnum was introduced in 1934, and its use has since become widespread. The cartridge started the Magnum era of handgun ammunition. The 357 Magnum cartridge has a positive reputation for stopping power. Yes, it does. It is the most powerful, popular and powerful stopping power that people have seen. FBI has reports out that 98% of people shot once. One shot stop happens with the 357 Magnum. Let's talk a little bit about the design of this baby. The 357 was collaboratively developed over a period in early to mid-1930s by a group of individuals in a direct response to Colt's 38 Super Automatic, which was a 1911 type pistol, looking very much like the 45. At the time, the Super was the only American pistol cartridge capable of defeating automobile cover and the early ballistic vests that were just beginning to emerge in the post-World War I gangster era. Tests at the time revealed that these vests defeated any handgun cartridge traveling at less than about 1,000 feet per second, and Colt's 380 Super Automatic just edged over that velocity and was able to penetrate car doors and vests that bootleggers and gangsters were employing as cover. The 38 and 357 would appear to be different diameter chamberings. They are, in fact, identical. 0.375 inch is the true bullet diameter of the 38 Special cartridge. The 38 Special nomenclature relates to the previous use of sealed bullets, such as the 38 Short Colt, which were the same diameter as the case. The only external difference in the two cartridges is a slight difference in length, solely for safety purposes, as explained below. Much credit for the 357's early development is given to Hunter and experimenter Elmer Keith. Keith's early work in loading the 38 Special to increasingly higher pressure levels was made possible by the availability of heavy target shooting-oriented revolvers like the Smith & Wesson 38/44 heavy duty and outdoorsman. 38 caliber revolvers built on 44 caliber frames. The 38-44 HV load used a 38 Special cartridge loaded to much higher velocity than standard 38 Special ammunition. The 38-44 revolvers were made using a 44 Special sized gun with the barrel and cylinder bore the 357 caliber, the true bullet of the 38 Special, since the frame, cylinder, and barrel were much stronger than the standard 38 Special components, it was capable of withstanding much higher pressure. The 38-44 round, while no longer available, was in most cases the equal of the later 357 Magnum, which works at more than double the pressure of the standard 38 Special. The 357 Magnum addresses the safety issues earlier cartridges had by stretching the case by approximately 1/8 inches or 3.2 millimeters, preventing the high-pressure 357 cartridge from chambering in a firearm designed for the shorter, lower-pressure 38. Elmer Keith also contributed the Keith-style bullet, which increased the mass of the bullet located outside of the cartridge while leaving more room inside the cartridge for powder. The Keith bullet also employed a large flat meplet, thus enabled rapid energy transfer for greater wounding properties. At the same time, this bullet design does not deform like a hollow point, and as a result achieves a greater penetration. These characteristics of the Keith bullet make it very suitable for hunting applications as well as target shooting. Now, here's the part about law enforcement you need to understand. In order to reassert itself as the leading law enforcement armament provider, Smith & Wesson developed the 357 Magnum with Colonel Doug Wesson leading the effort within Smith & Wesson, along with considerable technical assistance from Phil Sharp, a member of the technical division of the staff of the National Rifle Association. The new round was developed from Smith & Wesson's existing 38 Special round. It used a different powder load, and ultimately the case was extended by 1/8. Okay, because the 38 Special and the early experimental 357 loaded by Keith were identical, it was possible to load an experimental 357 and a 38 Special revolver with potentially disastrous results. Oh, yes. Smith & Wesson's solution of extending the case slightly made it impossible to chamber the Magnum power round and a gun not designed for additional pressure. However, both 38 Special and 357 will chamber in the Colt New Army revolvers and 38 long coat due to straight wall chambers, but this should not be done under any circumstances due to dangerous pressure levels of 3 times what the new Army is designed for. The The choice of bullet for the 357 Magnum cartridge varied in it during its development. During the development at Smith & Wesson, the original Keith bullet was modified slightly to form the shape of the Sharp bullet, which itself was based on the Keith bullet, which had 5/6 of the bearing surface of the Keith bullet. Keith bullets typically being made oversized and sized down. Winchester, however, upon experimenting further during the cartridge development, modified the Sharp bullet slightly while keeping the sharp contour. The final choice of the bullet was hence based on the earlier Keith. Now, I'll tell you, the performance of the 357 Magnum cartridge is devastating for what it is. It really has amazing stopping power. And here's some examples of the kind of stopping power you're talking about. And you want to compare it to a few things to give you some perspective. The cartridge, the 357, is regarded by many as an excellent self-defense round. In fact, many consider it to be the premier self-defense round. The hollow point version enjoys a reputation of being the gold standard of stopping power among handgun charges and an extremely reliable one-shot stopper. For big game such as ungulates and bears, which typically sturdier built than humans, it is inferior to the 500 Smith & Wesson 50 Action Express 44 Magnum, 454 Casull, 41 Magnum, and other, yes, and it should be. Those rounds are extreme. Still, it is a fine small and medium game round and will kill deer very reliably at reasonable ranges. If the right loads, 140 grains and heavier hollow point bullets and semi-wide cutters are carefully used by a competent marksman. For further comparison, the 357 Magnum has a higher velocity at 100 yards than its parent 38 Special has at the muzzle. Its stopping power on game is similar to the 45 Colt and has a flatter trajectory. It has a versatile cartridge that can be used for self-defense, plinking, hunting, and target shooting. Revolvers in 357 Magnum caliber have a significant advantage of being able to fire 38 Special, which is a lower cost recoil and muzzle flash. The trade makes 357 revolvers ideal for novice shooters who are not yet used to firing the full-strength 357, and believe me, it's probably a good idea because it does have a significant increase in power. Now, one of the beauties of the 357 today is, you know, it's considered, you know, you want to talk about concealed carry revolvers. Now, we've talked about, you know, you're talking about great stopping power. 357 is available in a variety of small revolvers. One of them is the Ruger SP-101 357 Magnum, which has a 2.25-inch barrel on it. It can be fitted with a Crimson Trace LG-111 Defender laser grip, which can make your laser. All it is a laser that's built into the grip, and when you squeeze it, there's a little button on there, you squeeze, or even just squeeze the grip, the laser comes right on the target, and you can put a designate right there, and it makes it a lot easier to acquire your target and shoot. It's that the Crimson Trace Defender series are constructed of a durable polymer. The red beam laser light is applied by a pressure switch located at the front of the grip, making it instinctively usable for right or left-handed shooters. The laser is adjustable for windage and elevation using an Allen wrench. You can never be too prepared, right? It has the 357. I mean, you can shoot some nice 357 ammunition through this. Another one, Smith & Wesson makes a 642, which is, no, it is not. It's 38 Special and 38 Special Plus P. Now, I'll tell you, the 38 Special Plus P can be sometimes almost as powerful as a 357 Magnum, as it takes higher grade powders. Now, here's another thing we want to talk about when selecting a carry gun. Size matters. And it does. Some people want to talk about the size of guns. Some start with small guns. And small guns have a tendency to be the ideal thing for a small, for a concealed carry gun, especially if you want to carry something like a 357 Magnum. The reason a small gun is used, it's easier to handle. It's easier to hide on your person. You can have yourself a great big, you know, model 27 with a 6-inch barrel, but it's going to stick out. But a lot of these other guns are available, and a lot of them are available in 357 Magnum. But the one thing that you're going to have when you deal with this kind of firepower on a smaller frame is you're going to have recoil forces that are going to deal with Some guns are better than others. The Ruger SP-101 is an excellent example of a gun that handles the recoil very well because it's very heavily built. It usually goes around 27 ounces, which is quite considerable, but it's also compact enough that you can hide it on yourself very easy. Some of the other guns are small and they're lighter, and when you shoot, and those chambered in 357 Magnum, believe me, you can sit there and shoot some of that, and it will really rock your brains. Now, what you can do is there are varieties of 357 Magnum ammunition of varying loads and powers. They have special loads made. Spear makes something which can take you down into the... It has lower velocity, lower energy, but it still has the same ballistic properties that we were talking about, and that's the way to go. But right now, we have to get around to before we have our break here, we have to pay the bills, and we have to talk about some of our sponsors, and we're going to talk about Patriot Depot. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You live America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family, unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Winchester Roberts here for the last half hour of the Second Amendment Farm, and we were discussing concealed carry revolvers and this 357 Magnum cartridge. Now, one of the things I think it's worth noting about some of these small revolvers, that you can get. One of the things you can get for concealed carry is you can have a bobbed hammer on these things. Now, that means if you've seen a revolver, you'll notice that they'll have like a horn that comes off the back. And what's typical with most revolvers is that you can shoot them in what's called single action, single and double action. Now, single action means that you pull the hammer back, and then you pull the trigger, and then that releases the trigger and shoots the bullet. Now, double action means when you just pull the trigger and then the hammer goes back, and then once you complete the cycle with the trigger, the hammer goes forward and knocks the firing pin forward, discharging the round. Now, what you can have with a lot of these is you'll sacrifice your single action capability, but what you'll be able to have with this bobbed hammer is that little hammer sometimes can be a problem when you have a concealed carry situation, and when you go to pull it out, it can catch on your clothes. So what a lot of manufacturers are doing now is that some of them will take that hammer and they will just machine that off. Now, the hammer is still there, you know, but it lies flush. But what the only trade-off that you get is that you lose your ability to shoot, single action. Now, one of the things about the 357 Magnum, it has great power. You know, you only need one shot. But sometimes today, a lot of people want to carry more than just a few shots. Most of these small revolvers have five rounds. They're typically five rounds because they have to have the strength to deal with the recoil forces. And I've had friends that have had some smaller, lighter guns, and they've told me it just knocks them out. And they've changed it. In fact, I had a friend of mine that was dealing with, had a lighter gun that was really just knocking him around, and he went and changed it for a Ruger, and he's much happier with the performance. But some of you will want the 357 Magnum in a greater size or semi-automatic capability, and that does exist. On the semi-automatic side, you can have a gun, and I'm not talking about currently manufactured guns. One of them is the Israeli weapons industry made or Magnum Research made Desert Eagle. And the Desert Eagle is an extremely heavy pistol. The same frame, it is a rotating bolt. Remember we talked about the rotating bolt in the AR-15? It uses a very similar action. It's a gas-operated pistol. But the Desert Eagle is extremely big. It is a big gun. It can weigh up to 6 pounds. And the reason it is that way is because it is chamberable in larger rounds. The frame is capable of being loaded up to the 50 Action Express, which is the biggest model that they make. And the 50 Action Express, as you know, is a round that's like, it's a piece of art. And we will talk about that at one time later. There's also another gun that's made by Kunin Industries. Kunin makes a 1911 357, which is an excellent pistol. It holds about 9 to 10 rounds. I believe it holds 9 to 10. And they just released a model that has a compensator on it, a compensator on a lot of these big high-caliber pistols, they put what's called a muzzle breaker compensator, or they have compensation ports drilled into the gun. And what compensation does is it takes a lot of the blast effects that come from these high-powered cartridges, and it mitigates the blast effects. Thus, it makes the gun easier to shoot. It lowers muzzle flip and makes it easier for you to control. And the Kunin is an excellent gun. But now the difference, if you're going to go semi-automatic, you're going to pay. It's going to be expensive. You're going to spend over $1,000. Is the 357 Magnum available in other... Are there alternatives? Yes, there is. There's a current round that's made on the 40 Smith & Wesson cartridge. It was a proprietary round developed by Sig Sauer. It is called the 357 Sig. And the 357 Sig based on is not a 357 Magnum, but it's based on some... On a high pressure principle. It pushes around 40,000 PSI, and it's very popular amongst federal and state law enforcement, and it's getting increasingly popular amongst the concealed carry crowd because it offers great power. And that's what I carry. And I tell you, the 357 Sig, it's a good mix because you have the power of the 357 Magnum, the benefits that we all talked about, plus you have the ability to carry more ammunition. And some of these guns are available in even subcompact level. You can have like a minimum of 7 shots. and you can go up to a big one, which can have up to 15 to 16. And a nice, most compact guns have a good magazine capacity of, let's say, 13 to 15 rounds. So, you know, the 357 Magnum is a great concealed carry, great self-defense and hunting round, and it's highly recommended. And that's why it's one of our guns of the week. If you're looking to purchase, usually a lot of people will buy a 38 revolver, but I recommend buy a 357 because you can shoot the lower caliber cartridges, and then you can sit there and still enjoy the benefits, you know, of being able to go one way or the other. And, you know, the nice thing about it is you can have a lot of fun with it. 357 Magnum is a fun gun to shoot. It really is. And once you start to master it, you will want to sit there and move up into the higher calibers, which we are going to talk about on this show. We are definitely going to talk about it. There are some guns available out there that are just truly fun. They're expensive, but, you know, if you want to be a collector and if you want to be a competition shooter, there's some things that you definitely want to learn to get used to. All right, now getting back to before our next, I do want to touch a little bit more on the 46th. I'm going to read another chapter, another paragraph from the hold on a second. I want to read another from the Federalist paper right here. This is the third paragraph right here. We'll read the third paragraph and then we will talk about it a little bit. Then we will move on to some other things. Into the administration of these, a greater number of individuals will expect to rise. From the gift of these, a greater number of officers and emoluments will flow. By the superintending care of these, all the more these, the people will be more familiarly and minutely conversant. And with the member of these will a greater proportion of the people have the ties of personal acquaintance and friendship and of a family and party attachments. And on the side of these, therefore, the popular bias may well be expected most strongly to incline. Experience speaks the same language in this case. The federal administration, though hitherto, was very defective in comparison with what may be hoped under a better system, had during the war, and particularly whilst independent fund of paper emissions was in credit, an activity importance as great as it can have in the future circumstances whatsoever. It was engaged, too, that in the course of measures which had for the objective protection of everything that was dear and the acquisition of everything that could be desirable to the people at large, it was nevertheless invariably found after the transient enthusiasm for the early Congress was over that the Federal Council was at no time the idol of a popular favor, and that the opposition to proposed enlargement of its powers and importance was the side usually taken by the men who wished to build their political consequence on the prepossessions of their fellow citizens. If therefore, as has been elsewhere remarked, the people should in the future become more partial to the federal than to the state governments, the change can only result from such manifest and irresistible proofs of a better administration as will overcome all their antecedent propensities. And in that case, the people ought to not merely be precluded from giving most of their confidence where they may discover it may be most due, but even that the case of the state governments could be have a little to apprehend, because it is only within a certain sphere that federal power and the nature of things be advantageously administered. The remaining points on which I propose to compare the federal and state governments are the disposition and the faculty that they may respectively possess to resist and frustrate the measures of each other. It has already proved that the members of the federal will be more dependent on the members of the state governments then the latter will be on the former. It has appeared also that the preposition of the people on whom both will depend will be more on the side of the state governments than of the federal government. So far as the disposition of each towards the other may be influenced by these causes, the state governments must clearly have the advantage. Well, thereby one of our former presidents, you want to talk about the separation of powers, the way things need to be done, and this is where the power of the Second Amendment is being derived from. You're beginning to see clearly how James Madison, President Madison, viewed state supremacy over federal law. How about that? And the federal law was there, the feds were there to enforce and make sure that the states, you know, even though the states were supreme, that the feds were to make sure that everyone was to follow him. Vice versa. It was a balance of power right there. And President Madison was a wise man, being a Virginian too, as he was. And he was a very learned man, and he knew what he was talking about. But these issues, as more you read these papers, and the most fascinating thing, as I find, is the relevance that it has today. It is relevant. It is just as relevant today as it was when he wrote this in 1788. As you can see, when you read the struggles and everything that is in there, it is the same issues that we are talking about today. As you look at the UN Arms Treaty, as you look at all the little things we talk about, it is all being tied together. And I think it's important that we study these Federalist Papers, because if we really want to understand what our rights are, we have to understand how the Founding Fathers formulated these rights, why they wrote them in the Constitution. See, the Federalist Papers are the foundation for the Constitution. And Americans must learn to understand what the foundation is. I mean, you have a typical man on the street today, you see it on talk radio, and you see it on, and some people don't even know who their congressman is, and they don't even know who their vice president is, or other elected officials. It is really bad that we are in this state. And that's one of the purposes of this show, is to educate people and to get them on the right. But we do have to have a break right now, and we will get right back to you for the last quarter hour of this show.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
One little message here, and then we got a caller coming in from Maryland here. Join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday right here on conservativenationmedia.com for the Christopher Manti Show at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll NFL commentary thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which could be readily called eponymous. Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Hello, you're on Second Amendment Forum with Max Roberts. How you doing?
Doing fine, Max. My name's Kevin.
Hi, nice to meet you, Kevin.
Thank you, sir. First time caller, long time listener. Well, maybe not that long, but I just got a question. Maryland passed a law requiring a $50 fee in order to own a handgun. Now, that's supposed to be good for 10 years. Well, it's supposed to be good for 10 years. And, excuse me?
Go ahead. Say your piece. I'm listening.
Yeah, and it has a $10 renewal after 10 years. And, you know, there's also a safety class involved and fingerprinting, a whole bunch of other things. But just focusing on this $50 fee. And if I stop and, you know, you have to pay $50 in order to exercise your liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have other discussions on other constitutional issues, such as voter ID, and the argument against the voter ID is because a voter ID in essence becomes a poll tax. It costs the person either additional effort, or a, you know, actual costs in order to exercise their right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has anybody taken this type of argument against this Maryland's rule or any other state's rule that it becomes akin to a poll tax and that should not be allowed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that answer.
I know, but yeah, I've been following what Maryland has been doing, and they have really come in to do some things that they have just, first of all, it is an inhibition of your right. You got to understand, the right shall not be infringed. Now, does the state have the right to do some regulation? They do, Kevin. I mean, you know, you do have to pay a certain, like you know, if you're going to get a concealed carry permit, like here in Virginia, you got to pay a fee, and when you got to renew it. I mean, that's not too unreasonable, as long as they keep it. I mean, we pay in Virginia, it's like a $50 fee every 5 years to renew our concealed carry permits. And you know, I don't think it's such a bad thing. You see, these things, is not, as long as they're not onerous and they do not infringe on your right to own. Now, the laws that your state has passed are downright onerous and downright anti-Second Amendment, and they should be challenged. In fact, a lot of you gun owners in Maryland ought to sit there. You know, I heard that a federal judge disallowed a challenge to that, but I think in Maryland, you guys should get a class action suit going and start dealing with your rights that are being infringed to own certain guns and to have the ability to defend yourself. I do not believe that Maryland's laws, if they get in front of the right judge, will not stand a constitutional smell test. It didn't in Illinois. It hasn't in New Jersey. But all these states keep passing these laws, and all's what happens. Look in Baltimore. The violence goes up. Do you want to be in Baltimore? Do you want to go, do you want to be in Baltimore?
Stay away from it.
Yeah, you want to stay away from it. It's a dangerous place to be, and it's just not what you want. I mean, do you own any guns?
I do.
Do you have your permit?
Well, I didn't need to have a permit because of, you know, I don't have a concealed weapon, and I don't need a permit for that, and didn't need a permit because I purchased before the law went into effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, it wasn't a bad deal when the state said you have to take an online safety class. Fine. I learned some stuff.
Taking a safety class is a good, and I tell you something, I have no problem with, you know, here on the Second Amendment Forum, you know, we are going to propose safe gun ownership, and it is. You know, there's people that get killed in gun accidents every day, and you don't want to see people get killed, I mean, over stupid stuff. And it's important. Gun safety is practiced 24/7. Always
remember. Absolutely.
Gun safety
Absolutely.
Is a never-ending process. It's a never-ending process, and what you have to do is constantly stay on top of it. You have to stay on top of it, and I never stop. I mean, you know, and people do. It's amazing the sloppiness through which people get this. Well, I have another call, and I have to get on with it, but thanks for calling, and please call back again. I look forward to hearing from you again. Take care, Kevin.
Thank you
very much. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Hello, you're on with Maxwell. Hello,
my name is Hank. Live here in the state of Virginia. My wife and I don't have any guns. We were considering getting started with some firearms, and I want to know what would be your best recommendation for us to start and to protect my household if I'm not home working, you know, to get my wife on something. And what would you recommend that's going to, because we're definitely in the market for getting something going here, and we want to have the maximum protection and, of course, you know, the easiest use and safety, you know, for my home. What would you recommend?
Where do you live in Virginia?
I'm out in Front Royal, Virginia.
All right, so you're out in Front Royal. So you're out in Bear Country, right?
Yes, I am.
I'll tell you, I think in your situation, something like what you have, Hank, would require having a gun with several kind of capabilities. I would recommend at least three different types of guns in a situation like you have: a rifle, a shotgun, and a handgun. For a handgun, something like a 357 Magnum revolver, like we've been talking about, would be good because it can deal with dangerous game. And you can also deal with something like a 30-06 rifle, or an AR-15 would be a good thing to have. An AR-15 has come in all sizes and prices. And, you know, if you want to get information, we can post stuff on the website and talk about various different kinds of, you know, guns you could. A shotgun is a valuable thing to have, because a shotgun can shoot slugs. It can shoot slugs, and you can deal with multiple threats with a shotgun. You can deal with animals, people. You know, you can shoot the big 50 caliber slug, which is excellent. I mean, it's an excellent stopping power. More than a 357 Magnum, in fact. And shotguns today come in so many different sizes. There's pump, there's semi-automatic. And there's also a new gun out, and I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called the Taurus Judge, which is a combination 45 Colt with a 410 shotgun shell. So what you can do with that is you can shoot, you know, the 410 is a much smaller shotgun shell. It's about the size of a 45, but it can shoot multiple balls through that, and you can also shoot the big 45 caliber bullet. So, you know, you have to think, but it depends on what kind of budget you're on to and what you want to spend. Another great firearm for first beginners would be a full-size 40 Smith & Wesson handgun, which is a great semi-automatic, and it has, I would say, a perfect match between the 9mm and the 45. It's a good in-between round. And, you know, for first-time people that have never, the recoil is not too bad, but it has excellent stopping power. I have a tendency to go heavier than what I am seeing right now, because we have to deal with it. But we have to get ready to close off here now, because the time is running short. But thank you for your call, Hank, and I would appreciate having you come back again. It's good to hear from you, and please call
back. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Take care. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, we had a very interesting day today on our second installment of the Second Amendment Forum. We would definitely like to, you know, grow and talk about these things, but tune in next week, and we will be more than happy to talk about these things and answer all your questions on what you may have about guns and everything associated with it. Here's Maxwell Winchester Roberts signing off.